This is the SearchSecurity.com Threat Monitor Podcast for June 17th, 2010. In these semi-monthly recordings, SearchSecurity.com contributors offer expert advice on the latest information security threats. I'm Carolyn Gibney. We're here today with Michael Malin, Executive VP and CFO of Mandiant, and Dave Merkel, VP of Products for Mandiant. We're going to be discussing advanced persistent threat. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Great. Thanks
for
having us.
Thank you.
For our first question, how do you define advanced persistent threat? Many say that it basically refers to attacks from China. Do you agree?
This is Dave. We define the advanced persistent threat as a highly targeted attack, professional in nature, where the goal is to compromise an enterprise or organization, get inside the environment and persist there and continue to extract information. The second part of your question is referring to attacks from China. Generally, that the APT acronym is associated with attacks that originate in that area, and we do generally agree with that. The observations that we have, which I believe we've published previously in our MTrends report, where we see a commonality of interactions between those enterprises and organizations and China-based entities, and then a focus on theft of information surrounding those activities.
For CIOs that may be skeptical about the danger posed by advanced persistent threat, what are some quick examples or statistics to get their attention?
We look at it, and the advanced persistent threat in our minds is a reality. We have seen it. We have worked with it. We have actually been experienced in this 4 years, and you can actually see that as part of our MTrends report, where we go into the history of this type of threat. We've actually been dealing with 17% of the Fortune 100 relative to this threat. We've also dealt with 12 out of the top 25 government contractors relative to this threat. So, and we're just one vendor, so it makes you think, if we're just one vendor dealing with these specific clients, what about the other ones in the Fortune 500, the 3,600 defense industrial-based clients? This is a reality.
In the past, your organization has said that attackers in China have infiltrated or are working to infiltrate virtually every arm of the U.S. government. Is that still the case today?
Well, I would say based on our experience working with the threat, we don't see any sector that is really not we're not seeing attempts for. I mean, it's a very aggressive attack group, and the interests of the attack group are extremely broad. So so I would say we see nothing but increasing prevalence across different sectors, not decreasing, and that's definitely continuing as we go through 2010.
What did Operation Aurora teach us about advanced persistent threat and its effect on enterprises?
I don't know that I would look at Operation Aurora and any information that's kind of in the public domain there as that I've seen as telling me anything new that I didn't know, and that basically is this. Despite lots of investment that people make in their information security programs, a professional attacker that has a focused goal can be effective at getting past those, and organizations have to be postured to be able to manage that inevitable breach. And in some circumstances, there are companies that are well positioned to both accept that and do something about it, and there are others that have some significant work to do to accept the fact that your information's at risk, the bad guy can get in if they want to, and when they do, you need to be postured to manage that problem and respond to the event.
What can enterprises do to proactively defend against advanced persistent threat? What about after the advanced persistent threat has already struck?
That's a tough one. Let me describe what things I'm sure don't work. So if your information security program is purely compliance-based and you're trying to mark off check marks on some criteria from some entity as far as how your program is shaped, you're probably not going to be able to stop this kind of attacker. If you don't have sort of this qualitative aspect to your security program with good, strong technologists managing that infrastructure and trying to improve it on an ongoing basis, if you find yourself talking about how you're investing in prevention and detection so you never have to worry about response, you are a prime target and probably are going to have issues. We find companies are most successful dealing with this kind of attack who understand what level of security they actually get from their infrastructure, and therefore remain vigilant for the right kinds of things after the fact. You know, how many companies buy an IDS and let it run and never look at the logs or think about analyzing the data, aren't doing any critical thinking about the information that their systems generate and they receive? That's pretty common. You know, we find companies that have been highly targeted. So we've seen a lot of APT activity in the defense industrial base, understandably so. And you look at how that community now works. You know, they share information between each other. They actively discuss the threats. They actively look for new streams of intelligence. And they are vigilant in their infrastructure, understanding that there's only so much stuff you can prevent outright. That mindset is exactly what you have to do to be successful in managing. And you can't ever have perfect prevention with this kind of attack group. But if you've got that mindset that you're going to manage it on an ongoing basis like you would any other risk, those companies are doing good things.
And I think one of the things we also do, regardless of the APT, we deal with incident response and how to deal with it if it's struck or if you're trying to even prevent it. Some of the basics that we talk about are to don't panic, observe and act, define the win. What do you truly want to accomplish with this reconnaissance of are we compromised or not? Is it a micro level of your enterprise, or do you want to actually scan the entire one and really get a scope of what you're trying to do? And then lastly, back to basics. There is a lot to be said for having a robust security portfolio. But obviously, we're seeing the prevention not working, but still important. But definitely the detection and response. And that's what we're seeing is you better be able to respond because odds are you're compromised.
Intellectual property especially seems to be a target of these attacks. Does the current threat posed by advanced persistent threat justify those organizations spending more to defend highly sensitive intellectual property against these sort of attacks?
Really, it means the organization should be critically evaluating what they're spending and what value they actually get out of it. You know, a certain kind of security product may cost a certain amount of money, but is only effective to a certain degree despite whatever marketing claims are made about it. You know, are you actually critically evaluating the dollars you're spending and being pragmatic about what you actually receive in return? Does that mean you should spend more? Well, I think it definitely means you should spend smarter. Should you spend more or not is, as always, a risk-based decision based on your business and what the impact is if that data is compromised. I don't want to wave the flag and say, well, there's these targeted attack groups. Everybody should just spend more money. Well, there's these targeted attack groups. Everybody should really evaluate what they're spending their money on.
The government, for instance, is working to reduce the number of gateways into its networks. Is that a strategy that can be effective?
This is probably a strategy. I can't say it's going to work, regardless of the government or an organization. Obviously, if you're cutting down the number of gateways or egress points, it's helping you manage fewer points of entry. I think what we're also seeing is in threats like the APT, it's actually an inside-out attack. Once they've actually compromised the system, they're inside, so you're dealing with host level. And that's part of what we say to deal with this proactively or to even assess the compromise of the APT. You're going to have to look at it at the host level and the network level. So that's not going to be your panacea, but it could be one step in many to deal with this situation.
Many vendors would have us believe that there are all-in-one products that can guard against advanced persistent threat. Is that true? Why or why not?
You need to, as a buyer, be critically evaluating what actual value you get out of a system. What we're seeing with advanced professional attackers like APT attack groups or other organized crime organizations that are infiltrating financial networks to do, you know, fraud using ACH networks or stealing credit card data, they're very adept at modifying their attacks and their approaches to be, you know, more agile than you are. And in many circumstances, they're not compromising the infrastructure, they're compromising your people. I haven't seen a security technology yet that could lay any kind of claim to, well, just buy this and that will take care of this professional attacker problem. It just doesn't exist. You really need to get into those qualitative aspects of your security program. It's not any one technology, it's the right technologies driven by the right people. And a mindset that says you are going to deal with a breach inevitably and you have to be able to do something about it. So to anybody that's saying, well, you just need to buy X and this will take care of it, that is a that's a pretty bold claim that I have yet to see be true in any environment. That being said, there are many products that can do many things to help you increase your ability to deal with this kind of problem, increasing your ability to observe your network, your hosts, to manage the threat. But it's the combination of several of those that are matched well to your environment plus expertise to drive them competently that actually gets you the win. So, you know, as ever, buyers should be very, very skeptical about, you know, really bold claims about the level of protection any one vendor can provide.
And everything is pointing towards an increase in compromise, the anonymity of the people who are able to compromise the system, the legislation behind it, the media attention to it, the loss of dollars, reputation, data, increasing. It's time for organizations to accept the fact that they have to deal with a compromise that probably is already taking place rather than trying to prevent it.
Again, we've been with Michael Malin, the Executive VP and CFO of Mandiant, and Dave Merkel, VP of Products for Mandiant. Thank you very much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And that concludes this week's edition of SearchSecurity.com's Threat Monitor podcast. You can also download more of our podcasts by visiting SearchSecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.